Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Stronghold Baptist Church. If you can grab your hymnals and open up the song 442. Psalm 442, we gather together. Psalm 442. Psalm 202, My Redeemer. Psalm 202. Sing of my Redeemer,
Amen. All right, great singing this morning. This time we'll go through our announcements. If you do not have a bulletin, just slip your hand up real high. We'll make sure that we get one out to you. If you open up to the first page, you will see our service times listed there. Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening again at 5 p.m., and then Wednesday night at 7 is our Bible study. We're in Hebrews chapter 6 this week. We've got the soul winning opportunities listed there, as well as the salvations and the baptisms for the month of September. Let's go ahead and count up. If there's any salvations to report for the week, just slip your hand up real quick. We'll get that counted up. Yes, sir. One yesterday. Anyone else have any salvations to report? All right, very good. Keep up the good work. Preaching the gospel. We've got the offering tolls down there at the bottom of the page through the month of September. Prayer requests. We do have an update this morning from Brother Austin on his mom. She does have the UTI and a kidney infection and, you know, a host of other things going on, but it's all stemming from a kidney stone, right? So it's pretty large. They're trying to get it to break up now with some medication, and hopefully that'll be able to break up and she'll be able to pass that. But that's kind of been the source of all the problems, it seems. But still in a lot of pain, still dealing with the infections and stuff. So continue to pray for her. And then, Brother Carter, do you have any update on your brother? Or? It's not looking good. I mean, it wasn't looking good last week either, but she's still in a coma, and nothing's changed for the better. Down. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Let's continue to pray for the Tabron family, and that's a very serious matter there. He's been in a coma, and things are not looking well. If you weren't able to hear that, things are continuing to go to look worse for him, so please be in prayer for him and his family. He's got a wife and two children, right? So please pray for all of them. Pray for their family. We added the retirement home prayers to the prayer list here. So please pray for these people who are requesting prayer. And then I added Sure Foundation Baptist Church and Pastor Thompson. Please pray for him personally. Pray for his church, his ministry. They've been dealing with a lot of different things also, but just not very publicly. So I'm not going to make it public either. But I spoke with him recently, and just we're going to put him on the prayer request. So please pray for him, pray for his church, and everything else. So on the next page, we are in the month of September, and our challenge for the month is to come to all three church services. That's the challenge. And if you cannot attend here, attend to one close to your house. If that's the issue, why you can't make it, try to just get in church, get somewhere, right? Get in there. Obviously, they got to be legitimate in the sense of they're born again believers, preaching out of the Word of God. But try to get in church three times a week. That's the challenge for the month. We've got the homeschool field trip. The next one scheduled in October listed there. Lunch will be provided for that one, and the meetup time is 10 a.m. at the facility. Bible memory passage. So this is review week number one, and we've got review week number two next week, Hebrews chapter 4. So hopefully if you are keeping up with this pace, then you are done with the chapter, and now you're going to be putting it all together. So I gave you 2 weeks to get it all together. Also, because if you've been doing Hebrews 1, 2, and 3, chapters 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4, it'll give you a little bit extra time to make sure that you can keep all of that reviewed as well. So that's where I'm with the Bible memory. Upcoming events are listed there. I'm going to be preaching at that Mountain Baptist Church camp in October. And then we've got the chili cook-off on the 31st. December 10th, Gingerbread House and Christmas Caroling, both happening on the same day. And then the church service on Christmas Day, we're moving up the evening service a little bit. So to accommodate, we're going to have a morning service, we're going to have a potluck lunch as a church, and then we'll immediately following that have our second service, and then the soul winning will be after that. So that is the plan for that Sunday. It's just that one Sunday. It's the only one that we're changing, modifying at all is just that one. Birthdays, anniversaries down there at the bottom of the page. I did submit the work. If you weren't here on Wednesday, I submitted the plan for the building, for the construction. So that was submitted last week, and it's been accepted as far as the documents were reviewed, and the documents are in order the way that they're supposed to be. So that was their first check, is just to make sure you filled out the paperwork correctly, which I didn't do. The architect knows what he's doing, so he was able to make the plan to spec the way that they need to receive it. And then they said within 10 business days, we should get an answer on whether or not they're going to approve the request to do the work and the plan as it stands. So now I'm just waiting to hear back from them. Once I hear back from them, and actually I'm going to be this week looking for a contractor to help us with that work. So just be in prayer for all the building stuff. I did open up the doors over there a little bit later this morning. I overheard someone asking about the bathrooms over there, so I was like, oh yeah, we should open that up. If you get here early and you open up the lockbox, if you use lockbox to get a key, you can go ahead and open up that other building, especially on Sundays. It makes sense to have those open. But there is more work than I realized. Like, there's one of the doors, I think it's the smaller bathroom, the door doesn't lock. So we need a new door handle, or at least repair the door handle that's on there. So be aware of that. You might want someone on the outside, you know, making sure no one's going to be entering when you're in there. And just please knock if you're going to use either of those bathrooms over there. I noticed the other bathroom, the lock works, but the door is messed up. It's kind of almost like someone was kicking the door at the bottom, or it's like bowed out. I don't know. It's weird. So we'll get all of that figured out. You know, I didn't do a super close inspection on everything over there. Once you start using things, you're just going like, oh yeah, look at this. This is a problem. This is a problem. This is a problem. So if you notice anything over there that needs to be repaired, needs to be fixed, just go ahead and let me know. Once again, don't let your kids in there unsupervised. If anyone that hasn't been over there yet, you want to see the space, you feel free to take a tour. You need to use the restrooms, go ahead and use the restrooms, but that's it. I don't want kids in there unsupervised at all. Parents, you bring them in there if you want to check out the place or whatever, that's fine. And that is about it for our announcements. So I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Peter, and he's going to lead us in our next song.
All right, church, if you can open up your hymnals to song number 191. Psalm 191, in my heart there rings a melody. Psalm 191. Thank you. ask the ushers. All right, church, while the offering plates are being passed around, if you can open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6. First Timothy, chapter 6. And as we do customary here at Stronghold Baptist Church, we're going to read the entire chapter. And ask Brother Devin if he can please do that for us.
That was 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are fruitful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Let's pray. Brother Keith, can you pray for us?
All right, so this morning I want to preach on the subject of gambling. And gambling, you're not going to find a specific commandment in the Bible that says, you know, thou shalt not gamble or something like that, right? But it is a subject that does come up. A lot of people have questions about this because it's not referenced specifically by name. You know, people go, well, hey, if it's not referenced, does that mean it's okay to do it then? And, you know, first of all, the answer is just no. I'm going to show you from the Bible why gambling is a sin, why it's, you know, we ought not to be gambling and doing such. You say, well, Pastor Williams, how could you say that if it's not specifically laid out in the Bible by name? Well, because we use principles in the scripture and we use commandments to apply to many areas of life. And just because something isn't specifically mentioned by name, you know, that directly, doesn't mean that it's just okay. I mean, you could think of probably, there's many things these days that, you know, as, for example, technology changes, it doesn't mean, just because it's not mentioned by name in the Bible, it doesn't mean that everything is okay to do, right? I mean, it just makes sense. It should be common sense. And, you know, the people who are going to have the biggest problem with a sermon like this are usually those who are guilty of it, because most other people are going to say, yeah, it makes sense, or yeah, you could already tell. And, you know, there's a lot of things in this world. God has designed us and given us a conscience. God has given us some direction and written the law in our hearts. We know in general what's right and wrong. And hopefully you have an understanding that already can guide you and lead you into the conclusion that, you know what, there's something just not right about gambling. It doesn't seem right. I mean, you could look at the fruits of gambling. You look at who's involved. You look at where do you go to gamble. I mean, think about the casinos. Like, if you're thinking about, hey, where would be a place that God's happy, would be pleased for me to go and visit and spend some time? Is a casino, like, at one of the top of the list? Or maybe if you think, hey, where's a place that God really doesn't want me hanging out? The casino then might be near the top of the list. Because what goes on in casinos, you're going to have a lot of drinking, right? A lot of booze, drunkenness, all manner of sin goes on around casinos, around gambling halls, whatever you want to call it. You know, anywhere is like gambling going on. It's always associated with some bad things. Now, we just went over this passage last week in one of my sermons, and this is another application of 1 Timothy chapter 6. This gets to the heart of the issue right here. Because if you think about, why do people gamble at all? Why is there gambling? Well, it's to get money and get a lot of money, and you don't really have to work for it. You just get a lot of money quickly. I mean, that's what gambling is all about. Now, if you tell me, well, Pastor Berzins, I just like playing the slot machines or whatever because I just think they're kind of fun, well, get a video game, right? I mean, if it's not about the money, then why would you have to go to a place that has all this other stuff going on and all the drunkenness and all the drinks being served and everything? You know, why would you want to go to a place like that? You can get these things on your phone, and it's free, and it won't cost you anything, and you can play all those stupid games as much as you want and not be in sin for it. Okay, so you know, there's your solution if you say it's just a game, or you know, you like poker or cards. You can do all of that without gambling. You can play card games. That's it. There's nothing wrong with playing card games. We play card games with my kids. I play card games with my wife. But you know what? We're not gambling. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. So let's look at gambling. Let's look at what is it when you start adding the money into these things becomes a problem. Well, first of all, the Bible says in verse number 6 here, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing in this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. We're supposed to be satisfied with the things that we have, right? But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money, that the people who want to be rich. And this isn't this what you hear? You know, you can talk about casinos, but it's not just casinos. It's also, how about the lottery? Yeah. The state lottery. Yeah. What is it that everyone talks about? well, if I won that money, I would do this and that. And they're dreaming about all of these things and how they would spend all that money. Man, I would be so rich. I would have so much. Well, you say, well, what's wrong with that? They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. But if I could just have all that money, if I could just be rich, they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare. I mean, how many times do you have to have it side by side? Look, but I mean, everybody's doing it. Everyone at work is buying these tickets and stuff. Look, why are you buying a ticket? Is it because you want to be rich? They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Look, that's the end of that. That's the end. There's no point to throw, I mean, how much are those things these days? $1, $2, $5, whatever. Maybe you choose the amount. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know if I've ever purchased a lottery ticket in my entire life. Like, I don't even know what to do. I know they sell them at gas stations. Like, I don't even know. Like, I would so not know what to, I'd have to ask people, like, well, what am I supposed to do here? I have no idea what it costs. I know it costs money, okay? And I know it's stupid anyways because it's not a very wise thing to do because the odds of winning those things are so small anyways. But beyond that, okay, let's just say, regardless of the odds, okay, the odds don't even matter when it comes to this desire and this want to be rich, that alone is sinful. That's going to lead you into all kinds of problems. I mean, it's covetousness. Be content with what God has given you. Don't seek these means to gain all of this wealth. It's just going to hurt you. At least if you believe the Bible, and you know what the Bible's true, so yeah, it will hurt you. Turn if you would to Proverbs chapter 20. There's a lot of truth about this in Proverbs. And it's not just this one. Look, this one principle ought to be enough. I mean, I could just close the Bible and say, hey, it's pretty obvious now gambling's a sin, right? But you know what? God gives us plenty more information about this as well. And, you know, maybe you weren't convinced because now, you know, again, with the technology thing, I didn't even think about this. See, this is why you got to be careful and cover everything, right? Now, this covers everything. I think this one, 1 Timothy chapter 6, I think just covers everything. But you know, I was bringing up, well, what's involved, casinos or these other places that you go to. People say, well, I could just use my phone. I don't have to be in a casino, and I could gamble online, right? Because they do online gambling, right? I mean, I think they do. I don't know how all that works, too, because gambling isn't supposed to be legal in all the states or whatever, but whatever, right? You could do these things regardless of legality. You could do whatever you want, right? There's a way to do these things. So you say, well, I'm not in that environment. Yeah, but it's still a sin. It's still wrong. Okay, regardless of even how you do it. The reason why I even bring up the casinos and stuff like that, because that is the fruit of the gambling. The gambling industry, that's what you're going to have. It's obviously not a good thing. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 21, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Now, this isn't talking about gambling, but this is talking about receiving an inheritance, receiving a bunch of money quickly, hastily, at first. If you think about, the wayward son, the prodigal son, where he's like, give me my inheritance now, right, unto his dad. His dad had two sons, and one says, hey, can you just give me my inheritance now? And he gets it hastily, and then what happens? He spends it, wastes it all on riotous living, and then he comes back with nothing to show for it, whereas the one who's being faithful day in, day out, working every day, continuing, God blesses that. But the guy that wants to be real hasty, it says the end thereof is not going to be blessed. You may think it's, wow, it's this great blessing. I got this great inheritance all right away, all right up front. And it's not. And we see that happening even with people who do, like, win the lottery or have these big wins at the casino or whatever, and they they spin the big wheel, whatever it is that's, you know, if you ever are by a casino, usually you see right near the front some big jackpot, right? They're always wanting to display how much money you could win and all that. Hey, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. And I just brought this up a week or two ago, how so many people that win these big winnings end up oftentimes even in worse shape than they started off because they don't know how to handle the money or whatever, or just because it's not blessed. Flip over to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse number 18. Proverbs 28, 18, the Bible says, "Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." So it's talking about, hey, you work the land, you work hard, you're going to have plenty of bread. You go to work day in, work day out, do what you're supposed to do, stay faithful, work the land. God's going to bless you for that. You will have bread. You will be provided for. You have everything that you need just by working for it. Be content with that, right? But he that followeth after vain persons, right? Persons that are, they're all about vanity, about stuff that's meaningless, about whatever. They're going to be the ones looking for the quick buck. Those are going to be the people that, you know, whether, you know, they're going to get their good, get their gains by ungodly means, whether it be by stealing, whether it be by gambling, whether it be, you know, whatever. All these various means. Vain person says you're going to have poverty enough. Look at verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. It sounds to me like if you're not innocent, then what are you? Guilty, right? You go to court. There's two verdicts, two choices. You're either innocent or you're guilty. So if you're not going to be found innocent, then what are you? Guilty. It sounds to me like that's a sin. If you make haste to be rich, you shall not be innocent. And I don't care if you don't understand that. I mean, you should at least understand those words. If you don't understand why will you not be innocent, well, you could go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's why. We ought not to want to be rich and desire that money. And, you know, again, the world, it's so foreign because the world teaches you that that's what life's all about. What do you mean? Like, who doesn't want to be rich? That's the philosophy or the religion of the world. But the end thereof is death and destruction and misery and sorrow. We need to go to the Bible to understand these things. Look, you should not be gambling your money and making haste to be rich because the Bible says you won't be innocent. Hey, stay faithful. Stay dependable. Stay reliable. Stay working. God blesses you for that. There's plenty of blessings in that. Just do what's right. Verse 21, to have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. Then look at verse 22. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. Again, you just want to make a lot of money quickly. Well, one of the ways you make a lot of money quickly, I mean, you just want to make a lot of money. One could be gambling. That's what we're talking about this morning. Another one could be, you know, stealing or some other kind of ill means, right? Just selling drugs, doing something that's just going to be like, oh, man, yeah, you guys go to work, but I go to work. I can work for 5 minutes and I make all this money. You know, prostitution, whatever, right? Places that have this really high rate of return for not a lot of time, not a lot of work, watch out for that stuff. And, you know, watch out for those scams. You see the you could work from home and make, you know, all this money. I've never called one of those phone numbers, but I'll tell you what, I know this much. It's either a scam or it's going to be not godly stuff. Because stuff like that is probably going to be involved with like the pornography industry or something to that effect, where you're going to be selling smut and promoting smut and doing all this, whatever it is, it's going to be something ungodly if it's going to get you a whole bunch of money really fast for doing almost nothing. Stay away from that stuff. If you haste to be rich, you have an evil eye, you're setting your eyes on the things of this world, on the things of the money, the love of money, the Bible says, the root of all evil. So if you haste to be rich, you have an evil eye. Flip over to Matthew chapter 6. It's a heart issue. And again, I know I've covered a lot of these passages before, but I want to apply it specifically with gambling in mind. Because it's important. Because people oftentimes, I mean, I could preach a sermon like I did last week, but then it's like the connection still isn't made with the gambling. It's just true. And if someone's guilty of that, then it's like, well, hey, you're going to figure out a way to work around with it. That's why when I preach, I try to come up with specifics and just make the application, because then it's like, oh, yeah. There is no more room for going, well, maybe that's still okay. Maybe, you know, make the application to things like the lotto. Well, I'm not going to the casino. Okay, but what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you even going down that path? Now, look, I mean, I get it. Some people like to get the scratch-off tickets or give them away or whatever. Just avoid it altogether, right? Avoid it altogether. There's no point to it. It's only you can say, well, I mean, I only spent $1 on this thing. You can only win up to $20. Who cares? I don't even care about that. If you don't care about it, then why are you doing it? And people say, oh, I don't really care. Who cares? If you don't care, then why are you doing it?
Yeah.
If you don't care, then it should be easy just not to do it, right?
Yeah.
It should be just easy to say, oh, that should be, if you don't care, that's the easiest thing in the world, just get right with God.
Right.
And how about this? Even if there's, you know, where our heart should be, if you even have a doubt, thinking like, well, you know, Pastor Bergen's kind of made some good points. I don't know if it's necessarily a sin to buy a scratch-off card. But if you have that doubt and it's something so simple, why would you even chance it? Why would you even risk it? Like, why would you want to be on that borderline of, well, this might be sinful? And do you hear what I'm saying here? For anyone who has their heart right with God, it should be a real simple thing to just be like, yeah, I'm not gonna mess with that at all. Because why would I want to make God angry? Look at Matthew chapter 6. Because this is where our heart ought to be anyways. In verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You want your heart right with God, then your treasure ought to be the things of God. That ought to be where the things that you find valuable. If you're looking to get a lot of money and that's your treasure, then that's where your heart is going to be, on that treasure. I mean, ideally, we should just look at money as a tool and as a means to provide, not a treasure.
Yeah. Right.
Right? It's not our treasure. It shouldn't be your treasure. Even if you get blessed and you come into a bunch of money, you ought not to be looking at it as your treasure and putting that much love into the wealth. Hey, if it's there, great. God could bless you. Great, right? It could make some things easier. If you have it, God bless you, right? God did bless you. Praise God for that. But that's it. Stay focused on where the real treasure is, on serving God. The Bible says the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, what's the love of money? The root of all evil. You're focused on this world's good. You're focused on the treasure. You want to get rich quick. You have that love of money. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? that ought to strike fear into you. If you have a love of money, if you have a covetousness, hey, the love of money is the root of all evil, and if your eye is evil, your whole body is going to be full of darkness. Believe that. Because that sin of covetousness and that sin of loving money isn't going to stop with money. It won't stop. You won't be satisfied. You cannot be satiated with money. That's why it spills over into all manner of other evil. No man can serve two masters, verse 24, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. Yes, I can. I could be a Christian and still go out gambling and try to make that quick buck. No. No. Now, you could be saved and do that stuff, because being saved doesn't rely on the works that you do. When I'm talking about being a Christian, I'm talking about following Christ, right? Where you actually are putting God as your ruler, as your authority, as the one you are going to serve. You're going to serve the Lord. Hey, you can't be serving money. Or else we could just say that this verse just really isn't true. I'm not going to say that. If I said something like that, you'd kick me out of here in a heartbeat. Cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. Let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23, we look at verse number 4. The Bible says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. But this stuff doesn't last. So why would you even be setting your eyes on it and focusing on it and going, man, and this is talking about labor. So the Bible already said, hey, you labor, you're going to be blessed, but don't labor to be rich. You labor to do what needs to be done, to be able to provide for yourself, provide for your family. You labor, yes. You labor faithfully, and God will bless you for that, but you don't labor so that you can be rich. And if this is all about working to be rich, how much more not working to make a quick buck? We already saw a bunch of verses about that. But it explains more here. Well, hey, look, why would you want to labor to be rich? This stuff isn't going to be here anyways. Who cares? It's gone. It's vanity. It's vain. Here today, gone tomorrow. Focus on the real treasure. Set your heart on the real treasure. Your heart is in the right place. Your works are going to follow. Flip over to Proverbs chapter 30. If you have the attitude that's expressed in Proverbs chapter 30 or in Matthew chapter 6 or in 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you have these attitudes, if you have this in your heart, then there's no reason to gamble at all. There's no reason to gamble. Don't gamble your money. Oh, but I could make this much money if I just do this. And look, you know, isn't it interesting how gambling also turns into addiction for many people? Just like drinking can, just like drugs, just like so many other things. It appeals to the flesh and becomes an addiction and ruins people's life. I mean, who here has known a gambling addict and their life is just great? Does anyone know of a gambling addict and their life is just great? No. The gambling addict is like always scrounging for that money to gamble it away, and they have nothing and their life is miserable. And it's like a high, because some people will get into gambling and they'll get that win, and oh man, that win feels really good. Well, why does that win even feel really good? Because you're loving that money. You want to be able to get to the point where even if you do come across a bunch of money for whatever reason, you get it, receive inheritance or something, it shouldn't really impact. I mean, yeah, it's okay to just be happy, like, oh, okay, cool, that's nice, that's a blessing. But it shouldn't give you this spike of, like, endorphins or whatever to just make you, oh man, yeah, it's awesome. I want more of that, you know? But that's what happens with gambling. And look, I could speak of this firsthand because I used to, not very often, and I wasn't by any means someone who would go out gambling all the time, but there was a few times where I went up to Vegas when I lived in Arizona and would go up there and gamble. And I'll tell you what, it could be scary. I got involved in some gambling up there, and it was like I practically turned into another person. I mean, one of my friends came up, my friend I went up there with, he came up to me, I was at one of the tables, and he was like, whoa. Because I was like, hyper, you know. And I was a different person. And you know what? I lost everything and then took money out on a credit card, which don't ever do a cash advance on a credit card. I hope they still don't do that, but they probably do. The interest rate is through the roof. And especially I was younger then and I didn't have as much, you know, it was just like, man. But that's what the gambling will drive you. It's because you get in a mindset of going, oh man, I lost all this money. I need to get it back. Well, how am I going to get it back? I know. Let's do the same thing that got me in this mess. Because I'm due to win. It's got to come, right? That's the trick. That's the deceit. We talk about the deceitfulness of sin. There's the deceit right there. No, the house always wins. Always. It's what's designed. That's why they have the magnificent buildings. Where do you think that money comes from? Where does it come from? Yeah, all the people that are going there. Wow, this is so nice. This is, you know, yeah. You're giving them all of that money to build this nice place. And think, you know, think about that too. How wicked is it for the people running the operation that are taking all this money from people? Now, can you really say that's honest gain? You got people who get addicted to this gambling. And look, I know, hey, people are adults, they can do whatever they want, but yeah, but does that mean you should be involved in that? That you should be involved in other people's sins? If you had someone that was, you know, struggling with any kind of addiction, would you just be like, oh yeah, well here, I'm gonna sell you this drug, or I'm gonna, you know, whatever. Like I'm gonna give you the opportunity to continue in your sin. That's wicked. Okay, that's wicked. Those great big casinos, that they're built off the backs of the vast majority of them are the working lower class. They're not making all the tons of money from rich people. Because if the rich people kept going back there, they wouldn't be rich anymore, right? Proverbs chapter 30, though, this is the attitude that we need to have. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Verse 8, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So you're saying, you know what, God, I'm just asking you if you would please just give me what is necessary for me. Put me in a place to where I'm not going to be going hungry. I'm not going to be so poor that I'm just trying, you know, like I'm doing whatever it takes just to eat. Where I might be tempted to steal because I have nothing and I just need to be able to eat. God, I don't want to be in that position, right? But God, I also don't want to be in a position where I have so much wealth that I just get lifted up in pride and I'm just going, well, who is the Lord? And forget about my maker who's blessed me and, you know, and given me all this stuff. You say, you know, I don't want to be in that position either. Why? Because the heart is, I want to be right with God. I love God. If money's going to cause my heart to depart from the Lord, then Lord, I don't want the money. And how often is that the case? Very often. Where people get comfortable, get highly blessed, and then they turn their heart away from the Lord. People who were following the Lord, people who were, you know, for example, God's people, then they get all these blessings, and then the generation comes up where they've had everything provided to them. They had no struggles. They had no reason in their minds to turn to God. Oh, God's just your crutch. Oh, God,
You just need to have that God in your life because you're weak and you know.
You're a fool. Fools speak that way. And people become fools like that oftentimes when they get too confident in their own riches and their own wealth and the things that they have because they don't even realize that that stuff was given to them. And they're putting their trust and their heart in something that can easily be gone in an instant. In an instant. We ought to have this attitude that just says, you know what? I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be poor. God, if you could just help me be sustained with this good, with the goods that I need, then I could focus all my time on serving you. It's that simple. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. It's the last place I'll have you turn, Ephesians chapter 5. The heart of the gambling problem is in the heart. The source of that problem is it comes from your heart. What is it that you desire? Do you want to be rich? Are you trying to get that quick buck? That's a problem. That's a sin. And you ought to recognize it as such and deal with it and get it out of your life and try not to set your affection and have your treasure on this earth. Cut that part out. Focus on what really matters. If you think, yeah, but I really love that money. You're never going to be satisfied. Ever. Ever. It never stops. And I think everyone should be able to relate to this to some degree or another. I mean, you may not have ever given yourself over to covetousness, but we've all had that thought or desire or the temptation come up in our heart. I mean, I think so at least. I know I have plenty of times. You start working, you start thinking like, oh man, if I just got this, and when you start thinking just financially speaking, money, you know, if I just got this, then everything would be great. No, it won't. I'll tell you that right now. I've tried it time and time and time and time and time again, and it doesn't work that way. You know what does work? Being satisfied. Thank you, God. I'm going to stop doing foolish things that get me into problems, right? Like Lazarus talking about debt and everything else. I'm going to try to stop doing those things. And wherever I'm at, though, I'm just going to be happy. Maybe you've amassed a lot of debt. You know what? Just be content with where you're at. Work it down. Do whatever. You know, live responsibly. Make good choices, but you don't have to get so caught up and hung up on, you know, on anything that has to do with the money. Just do what you're supposed to do, work faithfully, work hard, get that stuff paid off or whatever, and move forward from there, and just be content. You made dumb decisions? Okay, well, just be content. Now you got to deal with it. That's what happens. Don't add to your problems by thinking, but no, I need to get rid of that right away, and I'm going to do this to make that happen, to make that go away. And it's going to be, I'm going to buy this lottery ticket. I'm going to, you know, whatever. Get the quick buck. I'm going to make haste to be rich so I can pay this off. Look, paying off the debt would be a nice, it's a good thing to do. It's a good mindset, but not at the cost of now still seeking after those riches. And setting your heart on those things. Don't worry about it. Be faithful, work hard, do what you're supposed to do, and it'll work itself out. And be content. And especially as a Christian, right? We're Christians. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. We believe the Bible's true. If you're saved, you're a child of light. We already read, you want your eye to be full of light, not darkness. But in Ephesians 5, it tells us, instructs us that we need to walk as children of light because that's who we are. Verse 7, the Bible says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Yeah, you find that at a casino, right? Goodness, righteousness, truth. No. No, you don't find that there. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I think we're doing that this morning. We're proving what's acceptable unto the Lord and what's not acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Remember, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Right? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The fool's going to keep on spending all their money to try to make that quick buck. And oftentimes, the fools that buy all the scratch cards, all the lottery tickets, it's like they get their win. Every once in a while, they'll get the $5,000 or the $3,000 or the $10,000. And don't think back and go, you've already spent more than that. Way more than that over the course of years. I got this win. You didn't win. You're still behind. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What does God want you doing? That's why we're here. That's why we're looking to his word, to understand what's the will of the Lord. And it's not the will of the Lord that you would make haste to be rich. It's not the will of the Lord that you're going to go around and gamble and try to make a quick buck. That is not the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is that you're going to set your heart and your riches on the treasure that's in heaven. That's the will of God. That you're going to serve him and not money, because you can't do both. That's the will of God. That you work faithfully and be a good example to the believers by showing your faithfulness and that you can work and do the things that God has said to do, and show that God will bless you because of your good deeds, not because of the state lotto. Right? Think about it. Remember when Abraham saved Lot? And the king of Sodom was going to, like, give him all the stuff. And he's like, you know what? No, I don't want any of your stuff. You keep it. I don't want any of it. I don't want anyone thinking that you are the one that got me any wealth. Right? Why? Because God blessed Abraham. And he's just waiting for God. You know what? I'm not going to take your filthy Sodomite riches. I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want the ill-gotten gain, but ill-gotten means from anybody. I don't want that stinking money. I'll let God bless me some other way, to where it's going to be more obvious, hey, God's blessing me. Not I'm getting a bunch of money because I'm sinning and I'm focused on making a quick buck that the Bible teaches against. I don't want that. I have nothing to do with that. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, you don't have to turn there. Bible says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Even the appearance of evil. There's more scripture, but it's basically the same principle. The same concept, right? It's a simple one. Hopefully, I did a good enough job convincing you, if you weren't already convinced, of what the Bible teaches about gambling. Because it's a very simple concept. But it's one of those things where a lot of people, some people don't even think about it. You know what? Maybe you've never thought about it before, but you know what? Now you've been forced to think about it. And if you're going to do what's right, you're not going to do it anymore. If you even were doing it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not, If someone's sitting in their seat today squirming, going like, man, how did Pastor Burns fight? Like, I have no idea about that. First of all, I'm going to say that right now. Because this was something that I was struggling with of figuring out what I wanted to preach today. And I haven't preached on this subject for, I forget how many years now. It's been a long time, way before I even came here. So I was just like, this is one of those things. But you know what? Maybe there is someone. Because this happens. This is why we preach like this. Because you never know. And if it is you, I don't care. I hope you get it right. Right? And that's a purpose for preaching this. It's not to make anyone feel bad. It's to show you the right way, to show you and convince you, hey, this is what God feels about this. This is sin. Great. Get it right. Let's borrow a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the instruction and the guidance that we receive from your word, Lord. I pray that you please help us to all of us to get our hearts right, that we wouldn't be so focused on the riches and cares of this world, but that we would focus on serving you, Lord. We want to be blessed in all that we do, and we thank you for giving us what we need. And Lord, just like Proverbs 30 says, you know, we don't want to be rich, we don't want to be poor. We pray that you would please just meet our needs, and as you already promised that you would do. And God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. Brother Peter, please lead us.
Yes, sir. All right, church, if you can open up your hymnals, song number 331. Song number 331. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Psalm 331. Let's see the sound of the verse. Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. sing it. Thank you so much for coming, you guys.